Last time I spoke was over the Sermon on the Mount. We went over the Beatitudes. Be blessed whenever you're going through hard times. And we're going to continue with the Sermon on the Mount, but moving down in the lesson, Christ's teachings. Salt and light. If you have a Bible with you, you want to follow along. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 5, verses number 13 and 14 and 15 and 16. Matthew 5, 13 through and 14 through 16. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if thou salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, the scriptures are filled with things that we need to do as Christians, things that we should do, things that we should not do. But beginning of these verses, Christ tells us this is what we are. You know, it's not be light, you are light. You know, not you need to be salt. I mean, it's something that we should be all the time. It's what we are. We're going to look at the difference between something that we are and something that we do. 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 through 10 says, he that loveth not God, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loveth us, and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4 and 8 tells us God is love. And then 9 and 10 talks about how he shows us love. These things that, this thing is because God is love. God's actions are loving. The actions reflect the attribute that he has. Matthew 7 verses 15 through 20 says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bringeth forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. We are known by the fruits that we produce. What of an apple tree? I've been thinking a lot about apple trees lately. I've been thinking about planting some. I think deer love them. I think it'd be a real good investment in my part, but, what if the apple tree never does produce you any apples? Is it still an apple tree? Well, yes, technically it is, but it's not making any apples, so it might as well be an elm. I got a peach tree just north of my house. It catches tumbleweeds for me, and that's about all it's good for. I live in a low spot, and it tends to freeze late on the creek bottom, and it kills it every single year. I've gotten peaches out of it once, and the worms got more than I did. But fruit trees. We know a tree by its fruit. If it doesn't produce any, is it still a fruit tree? Yeah, maybe it has the characteristics of it, but if it's not producing you any fruit, it could be anything. Here I have a salt shaker. Salt has certain characteristics about it. It's white, unless it has another mineral added to it, but it's usually white. It comes in a shaker. But I mean, it's simple. It's salt. Now, I gave some to Brother Monty and Brother Zane. I gave them a taste of the salt shaker to prove to you that it is salt. What you see before you is salt. And we know it by its characteristics. Salt has, it makes you thirsty. One good thing about it, you know, the human body regulates how much salt it contains by making you thirsty. It makes you thirsty, drink more water, it passes through your kidneys. And, that's about as far as I can tell you about salt in your body, but it speeds up the elimination of salt. You know, our lives should be like salt. They should make people thirsty. It makes people thirsty for what they need in life. The Huffington Post conducted a survey of 700 people. The question was, if you could say one word, excuse me, what you wanted more in life, what would that be? And this is just five of them that I don't know if they were the top five, but they were the five that were in there. Happiness, money, freedom, peace, joy. I could go along with that, couldn't you? Have a little bit more happiness in your life, more money, more freedom, more peace, more joy. We as Christians have the answers to make people happy for money, freedom, peace, joy. People need the salt. They need the light in their life if they do not have it. We as Christians are the answer. We have the answer. It's all right here. All the secrets to life, everything to make you a better person, to live a happy life, it's right here in this little book. There's a lot of people that make oodles and gobs of money, and I don't know why I can't figure it out, but they make oodles and gobs of money on helping people. Self-help books. You know, they say, you know, the secret to happiness is to do this, that, and the other, and you'll live a long and prosperous life. It'll be okay. If you just follow this book, you'll live a long, prosperous life. You cannot make enough copies of this book to give to people to make them happy. This is it. This is the key to happiness right here. This is the key to all your financial problems right here. Be content with what you have. And not always spend money that you don't have on things that you shouldn't own. That would solve a lot of money problems. It would solve all of mine. Peace, joy. There's a lot of people that commit suicide every year because they're unhappy with themselves. They're unhappy with life and how they see themselves. And that's usually the problem. They're only thinking of themselves. I tell you, if you devote your life to something higher than yourself, it gives you a purpose. We were meant to be servants. That's what God designed us for. He designed us with the intentions of being like Him and to serving Him. And whenever you don't do that, you go against His will. John chapter 4 verse number 14 says, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life." You know, that salt has a distinct flavor. There's a certain diets that people have to follow to restrict their salt intake. They've made alternatives. They have salt substitutes that you can take and say using salt. Other things look like salt. Sugar. Sugar's a good one. Sugar looks like salt. But is it? Is that salt substitute really salt? Is sugar salt? Matthew 15, 7 through 9 says, "Ye hypocrites, why did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You know, the same thing goes for religions today. They may claim to be salt. They may look like salt. They might even have a shaker that they're in. But they're not salt. A little bit more of a lengthy reading, so I didn't put this one on the PowerPoint. But if you have a Bible, James chapter 2, beginning there in verse 14, reading on through 26. James 2, 14 through 26 says, "What doeth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily foods, and one say unto him, to them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding we give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doeth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he hath offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with its works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God and was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Ladies and gentlemen, I stand before you as a person that has faith but has very little works. That's one of the things that I lack in. How much faith do we have if we don't have works? You still believe, but what good are you? To me, you start to kind of look like that apple tree that's not making any apples, or that peach tree that's catching tumbleweeds outside my house. Not really good for a whole lot. The world is full of false teachers. They lead people astray, sometimes unintentionally, sometimes ignorantly. They like that salt shaker. They're in a shaker. They're white. Are they salt? Usually not. No, that's usually not the problem, and the problem is that people don't take the time and the effort to taste it and make sure it is salt before they start believing it. 1 John 4, verses number 1 through 3 says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now, already, is it in the world. Test the message. When you leave here today, even though you came to this building and you did hear me speak, test it. No matter where you go, no matter where you worship, test the message. You'd be surprised. Bronwyn and I, we stopped at a Church of Christ somewhere. I don't remember where we were at. She might be able to recall. I can't right now off the top of my head. But it wasn't a bad lesson, per se. I think the preacher stood up there for a little over an hour and used two scriptures. And not to say that that's bad, I just didn't get a whole lot out of the lesson. because it was one of them feel good, be good, nobody's going to hell lessons. The world is sweet and bubbly. You know, if people don't hear the truth, they can't believe the truth. Romans 16, verses 17 through 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offense, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. You know, thinking of deceiving others, I was talking to a gentleman, and how he put that. We're all in the same boat. We're all just riding different cabins. That's what he told me. All denominations, I don't know if that was all religions. I assume that you have to believe in Jesus Christ to get to heaven. I don't know. I'm assuming since he was a minister, a preacher, that he believes that. Maybe he didn't. I'm not real for sure. We're all going to heaven. Nobody's going to hell. We're all on the same boat, just riding in different cabins. You know, this is the same guy that's preaching to people every single Sunday, probably to a full crowd. It's kind of disturbing how far people get from the truth, but if you don't test the word, you might as well believe it. You know, about everybody I know has a Bible in their home. Now, it might not be used that much, but we have the means and the capability to check the word, to study it for ourselves and not have to take somebody like myself for granted. You're like, oh, well, Matt said it. It's the gospel. I believe that every day. Yeah. Another thing about salt. Salt doesn't conform to the taste of the food. It enhances it. We are to be the flavor and not let others change us. Romans 12 and 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. He called us out to be different, to be not like the world. His marvelous light. That'll bring us to the next part of our beginning scripture text. Jesus Christ is the one true light. We as Christians are simply a reflection. We reflect Christ's light to those people that live in darkness. Philippians 2, verses 14 and 15, it says, do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You know, we're to be that light. Not give others the opportunity to accuse us otherwise. You know, that's probably one of the hardest things, is that those that really know me know that I have faults and I'm not perfect. I stumble a lot. And I usually land flat on my face when I do it. And there are those that are pretty harsh on a fella. You know, they say, well, why should we believe what you're saying? I mean, you just tripped over a boulder and just face planted. We need to not give them any reason to see his face plan, I guess, or to think that we don't have the truth. I'm not going to go to somebody at a bar and ask them how to recover from being an alcoholic. I mean, that's probably not the first place that I would go look. Don't give them any reason to accuse you. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 through 12. Be ye our chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now that the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of his visitation. Peter says we are the called out of darkness into his marvelous light. He tells us, abstain from the passion of the flesh, keep our conduct honorable. They can see our good works and glorify God. We should strive to have a pure life. We shouldn't live like the rest of the world. If we're living like the rest of the world, that our light's not shining. You know, a lot of times I substitute reflection for light whenever I did a study over light not too long ago. When I think of light, I think of the light that was hitting Moses whenever he was getting the Ten Commandments. He came down from the mountain. He had to put a veil over his face because he was just glowing. I mean, they couldn't stand to look at him. That's what I think of whenever I think of Christ's light. I think it's just something so bright and beautiful and wonderful that it just, you can't bear to look at it directly. We as Christians reflect that wonderful light to others. Have you ever been laying in bed and almost asleep, dark in your bedroom and everything, and your wife come in and turn the lights on real quick? Or somebody else. It doesn't have to be your wife. It blinds you, doesn't it? I mean, it's just like, oh, I can't. The auras start going off. You start seeing these circles. They're all different colors and everything, and you're blinded. That's what I think of whenever I think about Christ's light hitting you. It's just like, oh, I can't. Can't see anymore. You know, whenever people live in darkness for so long, you know, if you hit them with full strength light, they're going to turn away every single time. Just give them a little bit at a time. Food. I like my food salty and I like it hot. But you can overdo it. But, you know, somebody who have never had salt, I mean, a little bit goes a really long ways. And that's what we need to think about whenever we're looking at people who are living in darkness. You know, all it takes is a little bit and they're going to like it. And next thing you know, they're going to start adding some more and more and more. Then they're going to be like the rest of us. Be the light. Be the salt. Test it. Leave here today, test the word. Zane, how does salt taste? Monty? Sugar. It looks like salt. It comes out like salt does, but in fact it's sugar.